The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Good morning. Welcome to the Vox Markets Podcast. Today is Thursday, the 19th of July, and this is episode 1121. And you've only got a few more days until Justin Waite is back. He will be back on Monday. So on the podcast today, we have CEO of Vocerian, Neil Ricketts. He's going to be talking to you today about the preliminary results which were released this morning. The financial highlights include group revenues were increased by 52%. So that's going to be interesting talking to Neil. And not only that, we've got the head of business development, Robert Munro from Hummingbird Resources. They've released their Q2 production results. And Robert's not only going to be talking to you about the results, but he's also going to be telling you what to expect within the business development sector of Hummingbird Resources. So first on the line, we have Neil Ricketts. Good morning, Neil. How are you?
I'm very good. Bit of a difficult day yesterday. I got caught up in the BA troubles, which meant that it turned into a 23-hour day yesterday. So I apologise if I'm not quite 100% on form.
Really? Where were you going?
So I was off to a business meeting in Madrid, which we had to try and squeeze in before our results. And as always, best laid plans. Yes. But it's all good.
Oh dear. So just a quick overview, Neil, of Vocerian.
So Vocerian is a materials company set up in 2011 by myself. And what we do is we exploit technologies in the UK universities and we turn those into products. The one that everybody is talking about at the moment is graphene, which is the first two-dimensional material to be commercialized in the UK or even in the world.
Fantastic. And you just mentioned briefly there that you went to Madrid before your results came out, and your results have come out. I see that your group revenues have increased by 52%. Let's talk about these results that have come out today.
Yeah, so as the biggest shareholder, I think these are a very, very solid set of results. They show that we can run the business, even though we've increased the spending by strengthening our team and taking on more projects. We've managed to reduce the loss before the EBITDA and the operating loss. So, you know, a really, really strong set of results. Obviously, the revenue is up by 52%, helped by AAC, and doesn't really take into account a lot of the good things that have happened post 31st of March.
So, are you surprised by these results, or were you sort of expecting it?
We have our monthly accounts. We know exactly what's coming. But you know, I wouldn't have said a year ago that we'd be in that position. You know, it's always the amount that we spend is a fraction compared to what our competitors are spending. But we're delivering more, we're getting more bang for the buck. So, you know, I think it is a fantastic result for the team. I think our CFO has done a really, really good job of managing the cash, making sure that the group is well fed. We obviously had an oversubscribed placing in that period as well. And we've got some great support from our shareholders. And, we're very enthusiastic and we think they're a great set of results.
And with the revenues increasing, can we expect maybe further investments? Is the money going to go back into the company?
Yep, so money's gone back in. We've passed two major milestones in the last sort of 12 months. The first one is getting over the ton capacity with our nanine process, our process that was developed out of the University of Manchester. And we've now placed the orders for the capital equipment to get us to have a capacity of 3 tons, which is significant. And these are real world figures. They're not sort of made up or theoretical. That's the capacity that that we're happy to disclose in this account.
So, Neil, I see that you've got some sort of UK government support. Can you talk to me a little bit more in detail about that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, this is pretty unprecedented, and this isn't something that's happened overnight. We've been working on this for 12 months since we did it over in South Korea and Japan. It was evident that Matt Walker needed to understand how some of the policies and the procedures that were being put in place by the Department of International Trade were actually being used by companies like us. And we've managed to negotiate with central government to get Matt seconded to us for at least 12 months, if not longer, in order to be able to push these projects through and to get an idea of what it's actually like at the coal face for a small company trying to export, you know, one of the greatest products that that I've known about for a long time. into the global market. Completely unprecedented, and UK governments, to the best of my knowledge, has never done anything like this before. That meant that we also managed to get on the trade mission with the Prime Minister over to China, and that's why partly we've gone from having one deal a couple of months ago to having 24 deals on the table now just in mainland China.
Wow, that's awesome. So we've done something on Twitter and on Facebook and different sorts of social media where we've basically asked people to come in and write in and ask you some questions. So I've got a few questions here if you are willing to answer them.
Yeah, sure, I'll do my best.
So one of the, I'll give you one of them. So it says, over and above manufacturing graphene and 2D materials for different applications, are there any specific areas that VRS are doubling down to create IP across the value chain, similar to the Luxus deals? And if so, what's the time/investment that is needed?
So I don't think I can answer the last bit of that, the timeline, okay. Because I don't honestly know at the moment, but doubling down, we're totally focused on getting graphene into products. We're totally focused on building a trademark Nanine and making sure that it's a very, very high quality product. It's got a very unique set of properties. It's extremely well regarded, which is why we have so much interest. And so that's our focus. You know, that's what we're focusing on at the moment. Having said that, there's about 80 other materials which are currently in the research stage that our partners at the University of Manchester and the University of Cambridge are working on, not to mention the other universities that are out there. And so there's lots and lots of opportunities for us, but let's not lose track of the main focus here, which is get graphene into products and get it out there.
And what are the biggest concerns for you at the moment, Neil?
My biggest concern last night was getting back for this investor meeting, but okay. We even managed to achieve that. So at one stage, I thought I was going to have to do this by conference over in Spain. But biggest concerns for us at the moment are always the same. It's always about speed. So we need to get to market as quickly as possible. We've got a great position. We've got a great network with the universities and the central government and everything else. We need to achieve. The team are totally focused on getting out there, getting the opportunities that we've already got put to bed, and getting the next bunch of opportunities ready to go.
Well, that's great, Neil. And I mean, maybe just if you could quickly summarize a couple of reasons why people should follow you on Vox Markets, that would be great.
Sure. So the reasons that I'm invested, and I am the largest single shareholder, which is one of the reasons that people should know that my agenda is aligned to theirs. The second reason is that we're in all of the big growth areas like electric vehicles, like aerospace, like automotive, like batteries, like supercapacitors, like textiles and sports goods. So huge amounts of opportunity for us to go at. And the third thing is our network of associates and companies and institutions that we're involved with is unprecedented. And that's why I'm so confident.
Yeah, well, perfect. Thanks for coming on, Neil, and well done on the results. They look great. And no doubt I will catch up with you sometime in the future.
Thank you very much.
Cheers, Neil.
Okay, thanks.
Welcome to the podcast. We have Robert Munro, who's the Head of Business Development for Hummingbird Resources. How are you today, Robert?
Yeah, all good, thanks. How are you, Will? Thanks for having me on the show.
No, it's not a problem at all. Yeah, I'm very good, thanks. And do you mind just giving us a bit of a summary of what Hummingbird Resources is and do?
Not at all. Hummingbird's an AIM-listed gold company currently focused in Africa. We've got the operational Yanfolila gold mine, which has just delivered its first full quarter of commercial production, I'm sure we're about to talk about. We've also got a large development project in Liberia called the Digby Gold Project, as well as a suite of other exploration assets.
Oh, perfect. And you've had your Q2 production results out today. They look very positive.
Yeah, they are. They've been great, actually. It's our, as I said just now, it's our first full quarter of commercial production. So a really big milestone for us to get through. I think we've delivered exactly what we said we'd do. Over 33,000 ounces of gold poured in the quarter, over 38,000 ounces of gold sold at an average price of over $1,300 an ounce. So really pleased with how the mine's been operating. I think in terms of costs, the Yanfolila AISC under $800 an ounce, coming in at $790 for the quarter. So again, good low cost production as we always said it would be. So very pleased with the quarter and how it's gone.
Perfect. And is the process plant and everything running smoothly?
Yeah, it's running really smoothly. I think I think it's running as well as we could have hoped. I think, yeah, everything's to sort of plan. I guess, obviously, all through last year, we had this massive year of construction and commissioning. And through Q1, we were ramping up and obviously getting the plant operating to full capacity. So this quarter was a big milestone quarter for us, really, the first full quarter where we were anticipating operating at full capacity. And we've gone and done that, and we've hit all of our targets. So really pleased to have achieved that.
Were you slightly surprised with the amount of gold that you've poured?
I think that we weren't expecting to do what we said we'd do, which is something we try and avoid doing at all times, Will. So, no, we were pleased that it was, you know, in line with our forecast. Pleased. Pleased with how it went.
So what are the costings looking like for the company at the moment?
In terms of guidance, the company's given guidance of, for the year in terms of production, around 105 to 115,000 ounces of gold for the year. Obviously, that includes gold produced in Q1, where we did 18,000 ounces, which is obviously, because it was a ramp-up quarter, obviously less than what we're now in our steady state. In terms of cost guidance, we haven't given official cost guidance with the production guidance, but we've talked to being around the $800 mark in terms of an all-in cost of production to date for the year.
And I see that you, at the bottom of this news, there's a big section about business development and being head of business development. I can't not ask you, how are you going to develop your business? What's next?
Yeah, no problem. I mean, there's a lot of different streams to it. I think there's the internal and there's the external side of it. So internally, we are looking at growth within Yanfolila. There's a number of opportunities that we can look to improve and optimize the plant. Our hope is that we've got a dual strategy of this year of increasing our reserves, which would obviously extend the mine life, but also looking at ways to make the plant increase its output as well. So we're currently doing some internal studies and some cost-benefit analysis of various capital investments into Yanfolila that could make it a bigger and better mine, which is pretty exciting. As well as that, we are also looking at our Dugbe project in Liberia. It's Liberia's largest gold deposit, over 4 million ounces of gold. Now that our project development team has obviously completed and stepped back from Yanfolila, they've got a lot more time in their hands to get stuck into Dugbe and really evaluate the best way we can look to develop that. So that's an exciting progress on the BD side of things as well. And, you know, we are looking at external opportunities. We've said it in the past. We will look to grow the business organically if the right opportunity presents itself. Obviously, what we've mentioned there is a relatively small convertible loan into a business called Bunker Hill, which is got a lead zinc deposit in Idaho in the USA. This is, I guess, a world-class geological region. And at the moment, it's an opportunity for us to conduct DD, which we're doing. So I guess further updates will be given on that sort of in the future once we've got through our DD and seen where we stand.
That's incredible. And with the gold mines, have the local community supported the idea? Are you finding maybe a little bit of friction, or are they backing the whole project?
In the whole, we've had amazing community support over the last 4 years that we've owned and run the project. You know, we've had hundreds of community engagements. We do a huge amount of work with the community, both on healthcare, with clinics, both education, with schools, clean drinking water, alternative livelihood programs, and frankly, the fact that we and our contractors employ around 1,000 people in the local area, which was obviously a massive benefit. Obviously, last quarter, there was that security incident, and there was obviously a serious issue with local security forces coming into conflict with some illegal artisanal miners on our property. That was obviously a terrible event, and one which hopefully will never happen again for us. But I think it's not. I don't think it's reflective of our 4 years on the ground there, or the general feeling on the ground of Hummingbird and how we operate and how we run Yanfolila and interact with the local communities.
I mean, it is great, like you said, that you employ the local people, and I think that is so important. You know, if you go into a country and you are as a foreign company, you've got to come in, and it is great to support the communities in that way.
Yeah, the mine's got an over 95% Malian workforce, which I believe is the highest in the region of a local workforce. So I think, you know, we are trying to be best in class, best in industry in terms of that respect, and it's something we feel very strongly about. So I'm keen to continue improving and training up, mentoring. We, you know, just this last quarter, we sent 25 guys up to Bamako to do specific training in in various things such as welding and other technical skills. So obviously bringing up the skill level from guys who are, you know, doing more manual labor style roles into more technically qualified roles. So yeah, we're always looking to do better and keep striving to do more. So yeah, we'll see how we get on this next quarter.
I'm going to ask you if there's three reasons why people should follow you, but what are those three reasons?
The first reason, I guess, would be ultimately we've just delivered our first quarter of commercial production today. The numbers have been very good, and it shows Jan Felipe is delivering to expectation, which should be very reassuring for lots of people. I think the second reason is we've already started an aggressive drilling program to increase our reserve base to materially increase the mine life at Jan Felipe, which should also have significant impact on our valuation. And I think the third one is that we've obviously got an active business development strategy, both for internal opportunities and external ones. And we believe we could add significant value to the business when those strategies come to bear. So those would be my three reasons, Will.
Well, thank you very much, Robert, for coming on. Great production results that have come out. And I'm looking forward to following you and hearing more information that's going to come from Hummingbird Resources. So thank you very much, Robert.
Not at all. Thanks for having me on the show.
Cheers.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.